Hi, this is Tanya, author of Outsmart Your Cancer, and I have a woman named Judy in Michigan on the line right now, and she's going to tell us a very exciting story about her son's recovery from brain cancer. And at least he's still on the Protocell, so we'll go into all of those details. Hi, Judy. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thanks. I'm doing good.
Good. Well, you really do have an amazing story, and I was wondering if you could just start out telling us a little bit about what happened with your son, Scott, how long ago it happened, and how you found out that he had a brain tumor.
Yeah, I'd gladly share that because we really have been blessed by all of this. Scott was, he had just turned four. It was September 96. For him, and my older sister is a doctor, so we kind of run things by her whenever, you know, anything seems strange. And what had happened for us is he was having just odd daydreamy kind of spells where he'd, you know, reach around, and we weren't sure what was going on, if it was something we should worry about or not. And she told us to have him checked, and we had a CAT scan done.
And how old did you say he was?
He was 4 years old.
Okay.
So, you know, he's just at that age where they've developed language and things so that
you're
not really sure what to expect. Is this a normal childhood behavior, or is he really isolated and acting, you know, weird? And, you know, she told us that we should look and see if it's epilepsy, if those were seizures. And so he went through a bunch of tests, and, you know, we thought that it was epilepsy, but after he had an MRI, they referred us to an oncologist because they saw a mass on his brain that was stimulating these, they call them complex partial seizures, and they were, you know, like being stimulated from that area of his brain, which was his speech center. So, you know, that made sense with all of the motions and the odd, you know, non-communicative behavior. So they did the MRI, they did studies, and they diagnosed him with a low-grade astrocytoma, which is low-grade meaning slow-growing malignant brain tumor in his speech center.
Okay.
So that kind of started us on the, you know, the whole path of, you know, what do we do that this is, though it's low, this is actually cancer.
Right. What did the oncologist want to do?
The oncologist set him up. You know, they put a whole team of doctors on him. We worked out of Children's Hospital, and they had a surgeon and a neuropsychologist and an oncologist and a surgeon that all did their evaluations. And the oncologist said she wanted first for him to go through a resective surgery to remove as much of the mass as possible, but they wanted to be sure that, you know, that it wouldn't damage too much of his speech, that he would still be able to speak.
Right.
And then she wanted to do chemo, and we just started studying everything we could, and we wondered if chemo would really help him. I've always just been leery of those really strong drugs, and he's just such a little guy. And they said, oh, that it would just be for any cells that were left and small doses. So that was the path that we were on. We were set up for surgery and chemotherapy with the doctors, and we had one of the best surgeons in the country lined up to do the resective surgery.
Mm-hmm.
My sister, my younger sister, went to all the churches in the area, and she sent out cards with his, you know, picture on it and said, pray for this little boy, he has a brain tumor. And, and so people we didn't even know wrote us a letter and said, you know, there's a lot of cancer in our family, and we think that there is more success with the non-traditional methods, and you need to look into some of the alternatives. And, you know, and they kind of started us looking for other things, and actually that was really our prayer, too, because the tests they did with Scott showed that, you know, the tumor was definitely in his speech center, and they didn't know if after the surgery he would have comprehensive speech, and they couldn't even define to us what that meant, if he would be able to understand us or if he would be able to communicate, what that would leave him with. So it just seemed like a horrible option.
Yeah, that's quite a risky surgery they were thinking of doing.
Yeah, and I did talk to a couple of other parents that had had the surgery done, and one woman's advice to me was just take a lot of drugs because you're not going to be able to handle how much, you know, pain and stress that your child goes through.
Wow.
And the other woman's advice was make sure that your child gets plenty of painkillers after that surgery because it's really... So I was really torn, you know. I thought maybe they didn't give me good, you know, references, but we were getting really nervous. And my sister said, just to be honest, with the astrocytomas, that they're pretty voracious. They tend to remove what they can. It usually comes back within 5 years. They tend to remove again, you know, until they just can't do anymore. And so, you know, we knew we were getting into what might be a lifelong setup of surgeries and with, you know, not real clear results. So I think that maybe was part also that motivated us to look towards some alternatives.
Well, it's good you did your homework, too.
Yeah. Anybody with little kids, you just, you know, sometimes you feel like just handing it over to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe that was a blessing for us, too, to have a doctor in the family that we knew she's human, you know. You don't want to just hand your child over to someone else that has the same limitations as you.
Right.
You know?
So yeah.
We really started looking. And that was, you know, awesome. Some people that we work with told us about the early Protocell that Jim Sheridan, both, you know, being from Michigan, both Jim Sheridan and Ed Sopcich are from this area.
That's right.
And, you know, they said, you've got to look into this. We've heard stories that this is really successful. And so that's what we did. We talked to a family that had a little girl that had, I think it was liver cancer when she was 2, and we met her at 6, and she was playing the piano perfectly healthy, and we went, this is what we're going to try.
Wow.
You know, yeah. just I mean, that's what we wanted. We wanted our child back healthy, exactly how we perceived him then. So,
sure.
And that was the other thing, too. The neuropsychologist told us that we couldn't expect our child to be what we had known before. You know, it was like you have to learn a new normal. And that was devastating.
Wow.
You know, you have so many hopes and dreams for your kids, and you just, you know, to have someone, you know, tell you, you just need to let go of those. And so we just really, we just prayerfully put him on the early Protocell. And
yeah, so I understand you actually found someone who was able to get you a couple of bottles of the CanCell.
We had, yeah, we had that, you know, the original formula. We had 3 months of that to do, and he was scheduled for surgery, and we were really scared to put the doctors off. My sister said, you know, you can't continually delay the medical community, or they'll say you're denying your son care, and you could be in a legal battle there, or they will just, you know, write you off, and you won't have that care.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a scary choice. The first surgery in December, we said he's not feeling well. We just like to put it off. And then, you know, we talked to some people, and they said, we don't know that much about children, how long it takes to take hold with them. You should give it 3 months. And we were just so blessed, because the neurologist that was following his case, the nurse coordinating, called us and said, this doctor is going on a 3-month sabbatical to China. What do you want to do? And we're like, yes, yes. You know, we're going to wait 3 months. That's exactly what we want. We said, we're going to wait for her to come back.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that gave us the 3-month time. So when she came back, we said, come on, I'll test run over before you set up surgery again. And when they retested him, we had already started weaning him off the seizure medication. So he was off that, and he had no seizures. They did the MRI with spectroscopy, and they said it's echoing back like normal brain matter, like there is like an encapsulated, they didn't know what to call it then, you know, maybe scar tissue. They didn't know if it was still an active tumor, what, you know, but they knew it wasn't acting the same.
Had it shrunk in size at all?
In his first MRI, it had like feelers, you know what I mean, like technicals coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have those anymore.
Wow.
More like an encapsulated mass. You know, I don't know enough medically to know if those were what was stimulating the seizures, or, you know what I mean?
Right.
That it wasn't changing, I think, is what stopped the electrical pulses in his brain. So we stopped the seizure medication, and we just did MRIs every 6 months at first for him. And then after a few years, they said, you know, I don't know what you're worrying about. Why don't we do these every couple of years? And, you know, we're thinking, what do you mean you don't know what we're worrying about? You know, you're the ones that scared us to death. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
And they just didn't, the doctors then really just didn't know what to say. You know, is it a hematoma? Is it scar tissue? You know, but regardless.
Was it highlighting less on the MRI by any chance? Or like not as bright or something?
Right, yeah. And they don't like to admit that something could be different. You know, we've had a lot of difficulty, neurologists, getting mm-hmm. them to say, oh, this is smaller. But we've kept slides, all of the slides, and you can tell that it's smaller. We took him in a few years ago, and they said, oh, you know, because they stopped even using the dye that they put in that would highlight it. I forget the name of it.
Okay.
But they stopped using that because it was just kind of a checkup. And we went a few years ago, and they said, we're going to have to use that dye again because we can't find it. So,
oh, really? Wow.
You know, I thought, wow, you know, this definitely is less. And I do have one of their reports that said, you know, this seems to be smaller, but it could be equipment variation. You know, they immediately, since they can't explain it, try and explain it, you know, with equipment. And, you know, he has just been awesome. And he's, you know, we started him in school early because being really young, we thought we're not that good at detecting if something's wrong. We want also the teachers involved. And, you know, he's just excelled in his, and being in his speech center that, you know, that he does well in all of the reading, writing, and all, you know, that's just really good confirmation.
Wonderful. And how old is your son Scott right now?
Scott's 14.
Okay.
And we did stop, when he was, I think he was just about to turn 13, and he said, you know, I don't think I need to take this anymore. I'm perfectly fine. And we stopped probably, I think he stopped in the fall, and in the spring he had a seizure again. And, you know, we said, oh, you know, we had the MRI done again, and they said it still looks like there's just some inactive scar tissue there, but, you know, they wanted him on seizure medication, and we started him back on the Protocell. So I think the other thing they said is his you know, he's going through puberty.
Mm-hmm.
His brain knows that things are changes, chemicals are different, and his brain, you know, knows how to seize because it has done it before. So, you know, we just thought, you know, that we're just going to go with what has worked for him and keep him on the Protocell.
Well, that's a fantastic story. Now, my understanding is that astrocytomas, like most other malignant brain tumors, are life-threatening. And did your doctors in the beginning ever say whether they thought they could cure him or how long they thought he would live with their treatments?
No, they were really aggravated with us because we kept asking questions and they said, you know, just trust us. You know, this is going to be better. You know, and you know, better to them would be, you know, we can give him 5 years. And they said, you know, we think we can get most of it, and the chemo can get what's left, and we'll just monitor him. And that was the part that was really hard, too, because just like the psychologist saying, you know, you just have to accept a lesser level. Because to them, that's success. If, you know, if they get the majority of the cancer, that's success. But to us, if you've, you know, completely taken, you know, the life and the personality away from our child, that's not success, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, and the same thing, we even asked them, should we be watching everything he eats? Do we want him in optimum health? And they, you know, no, we're just going to put him on a bunch of antibiotics and he's going to be fine. It's a very, very finite step-by-step process that we found in the medical field was, you know, we're going to get him to this point and then we'll reevaluate. And we're not going to tell you any farther than that because they really couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So just to recap and clarify for any of the listeners out there, he was diagnosed with a low-grade astrocytoma when he was 4, and you were able to get some of the original Cancel for 3 months. And how did you give him that? Was it 4 times a day?
Yeah, we actually did it around the clock. And he was a little guy. He was such an easy kid. I mean, I took it with him. I'd say, okay, well, I'm going to race you, and we'll see who can drink this the fastest. And it worked real well with him. And in the middle of the night, I would just wake him up. Sometimes I'd do like a dropper and just squirt it in his cheek, but it is very strong taste, and that would wake him up anyway. So we found that it was easier just to, you know, stick with every 6 hours giving it to him, so he had it evenly 4 times a day.
Okay, and that's the normally recommended way to take it. Again, for listeners, the original Cancel is the same as the Protocell 50 that is sold today.
Right, and he's on the 23. I studied some more, too, and had heard, too, that the 23 for brains that, you know, I don't understand all of the process of it, but that is maybe allows the body to digest waste lower or something like that. So I did put him on the 23, which was recommended for brain as a staple, you know.
Yeah, my understanding is that in most cases, either the 23 or the 50 will work for brain cancer, though the 50 is recommended more often for glioblastoma multiforms. The cases I've come across of astrocytomas have responded really well to the 23. But I think that probably in most cases they respond to either the 23 or the 50. And a lot of people do start with the 23 because they don't want a brain tumor to lyse too fast. And sometimes the 50 will cause that.
Yeah.
And because you don't want to get that extra pressure and edema, you need your brain doesn't process out the lysed material very efficiently. And so a lot of times the 23 is the best one to start with for any kind of brain cancer. And then at some point, people, if they've been on the 23 for a while, they can then switch to the 50 and try that and see if they can handle that. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we were trying to understand also because seizures is really an odd thing, too, for them to understand
mm-hmm.
timing and how the brain reacts. And the one thing that we did take back from what the doctors had said is that it's just, you know, a change in the brain can sometimes result in seizures.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think maybe the slower process lets his brain, you know, adjust easier.
So what happened in Scott's case was in the first 3 months when he was four, you were able to get the seizures to completely stop and get him off the seizure medication, which is a good thing in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just kept him on, I guess for a short while, you did the Cantron formula, and then you went to the Protocell formula 50.
Right.
And you just kept him on that every 6 hours for about the next 8 or 9 years. Is that right?
He did. Actually, we did probably for 6 years. We
okay.
did it every 4 hours. And then we started, you know, they talked about that there were some alternatives. He was doing so well. We just did the 3 times a day, and we gave him a big dose before he went to bed so that we could finally, you know, sleep through the night.
Right.
And he could sleep through the night.
Which is still 4 times a day, but not doing the middle
right.
of the night dose.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's understandable. And over that 6 years or so, you were able to see the tumor get smaller and also highlight less to the point where it's at one point they had to start using the dye again
mm-hmm.
to even
yeah.
see it. And then, but I guess it never completely went away because it sounds like it went benign or got encapsulated.
Yeah, I think that's probably the way his brain is, you know, keeping things in control and in balance.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard
of... You get MRIs for him.
Yeah.
Just to make sure things haven't changed.
Well, I certainly have come across at least one other case of a man with a large astrocytoma, and his also basically went benign, and it stopped highlighting on the MRIs.
Mm-hmm.
And his symptomology all went away, but the mass was still there, and it seemed a very similar situation. And unfortunately, in his case, he stopped the protocell too soon, and it did become active again after a while. And so this is one of the things that's important for people to understand. If people have smaller brain tumors or metastasized lesions in the brain that are not very large, it is important for people to know that the smaller brain tumors, most of the time, using Protocell will make those completely go away. But sometimes the larger brain tumors, and I really think, it, you know, I'm not a neurosurgeon, but I think that it's because the brain does not process out dead material that well. It's not really efficient at that. And so sometimes it'll just allow the mass to become benign and encapsulated, and it just sits there. And in some of those cases, some people may opt for surgery to remove the benign mass if that can safely be done. However, if a person doesn't do that and they just leave the benign mass in the brain, they can live with that in many cases. But they may want to stay on Protocell indefinitely just to make sure it doesn't become active again. And it sounds like something like that may have happened in Scott's case, where after a certain period of time being off Protocell, he started having the seizures again.
Yeah. And I think, you know, both of us have gotten really used to the taste. It, you know, it's like coffee. It's a very strong taste, and then all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
it's nothing to you. And I did,
yeah.
too. I stopped. He got older. I stopped taking it, but I had noticed that my endometriosis went away when I was on it.
Oh, that's great.
And I didn't
great.
Know if it was really connected or not, but then I stopped taking it. And through the summer, I started having all the pains again. So then I go back on it, and we both just, you know, take it maintenance. We try and remember to take
mm-hmm.
it the 3 times a day, but if we don't, we still take it as often as we can. And
well, that's great, and that's good
helps.
To let people know, because I've actually heard of other stories of women with endometriosis have it go away, and even some women who had trouble getting pregnant could then get pregnant after they used Protocell. And I think the reasoning there is that endometriosis may involve some form of scar tissue. And that many forms of scar tissue may actually involve anaerobic cells, and that Protocell may be able to get those to go away. All of this is a little bit theoretical right now. But
that for me too. There's so many things I wonder why, you know, some things seem to be finite and you don't need to take it anymore,
mm-hmm.
or if there's some things that your body just keeps trying to do wrong, and then it's good to stay on.
Well, that could certainly be, yeah. And I do think that it's important when it comes to tumors that if a tumor goes benign, you may have to be more cautious about staying on Protocell, or if you go off it and start having symptoms again, get right back on it. However, there are a lot of cases where if the tumors completely go away and a person stays on Protocell long enough after they've gone into that remission point, after they've had no signs of cancer, if they can stay on Protocell then for maybe 6 months to a year, many times that is enough for the cancer never to come back. But this, again, is something that depends on people's comfort levels, and some people like to stay on Protocell even longer than a year just to make sure.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But boy, this is just a great case about Scott, and he had this cancer at age 4, and he's 14 now, and living a totally normal life, work doing perfectly well in school, no symptoms, right?
Yeah, and
as long as he stays on the Protocell.
We're glad to tell anyone because we know, you know, we're blessed. It could have been a much more difficult life, and so we're just really thankful.
Oh, that's wonderful. And do you give him any other supplements, or have you from the beginning?
We did give him digestive enzymes because we were told that when your body's breaking up the cancer waste, that you sometimes need it, you know, additional help to digest all that waste.
Mm-hmm.
We did do that. I think, right now he just takes the Protocell proenzymes, I think it is. But when he was little, we got the bromelain was the enzyme that we gave him.
Bromelain, yes, that's a good supplement to take with Protocell, right?
Yeah.
Well, you really allowed your son to avoid all the complications of surgery and chemotherapy and all of that, and that's just wonderful. So this is a great story. I really hope it's going to help a lot of other people. It's wonderful talking to you, and you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.